time of his life that he's about ready to face here. Thus far, he has already been into a lot. As we've read through Acts chapter 23 and in Acts chapter 22, we've seen that Paul, he's been with the Sanhedrin. They tried to pull him apart, basically. The guards had to come down, get him out of there twice. You know, it was the second time he had to be rescued, right? And he was rescued from the guards, and he was taken from where he was at, the place that he was at, taken up to the castle. He was relieved, and he's getting ready to go. It's going to get worse for him. I mean, as far as like the challenges and the trials, they're gonna be angry with him. He doesn't know what's gonna happen. God hasn't directly told him anything at this point of what he's going to do as an apostle, like what his next step would be to do in that sense. Remember, as the apostles were, God spoke to them directly at times and visited them, and as Paul was visited as one born out of due time. This is one of those instances where the Lord actually visits Paul, who was one of the apostles, who was, like he said, one born out of due time. He was one that was made an apostle by Jesus Christ directly, just like the others were, but his was separate to go into the Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 23, verse number 11, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you bless us now as we look at the scriptures here tonight, as we discern and we learn where that comfort comes from, Lord, that comfort from you. And Lord, that all of us need that at times as believers, as Christians. Those that are lost need to be comforted after they've been afflicted by their lost condition and shown that they need the Savior. But Lord, your children need comforted at different times. Help us to understand where that comes from and how that comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, tonight, what I want to really focus on is God's example of comforting the Apostle Paul, how he comforted him before the conspiracy. Paul is getting ready to head into something very serious. And the first thing that we notice here is comfort comes from the Lord. That's a Bible principle, period. If you are a believer in Christ and if you seek comfort from anywhere else, you are an idolater. Comfort comes from the Lord. Now, God may use his word, he may use his people, but it is God who comforts us. That if you're seeking comfort in other places, you're seeking it as an idolater, and you need to repent of that. Your comfort must come from the Lord. You must be dependent upon the Lord for that comfort, because God will not have anyone seeking, any of his children seeking comfort outside of the channels in which that he has set up. Because otherwise, it stokes your pride and everything else. So God wants us to seek it from him, and that's where it comes from. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, who is uniquely equipped by the grace of God to write this to the Corinthians and explain to them about the God of all comfort, having been through the trials that he had been through, having been challenged the way that the Apostle Paul was challenged, he writes to them not only under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but also out of much experience, having experienced it. There's something about that, I think, that it does resonate with people the longer that you're saved. One of the things is, as a pastor, I know that there are things that I preached when I was a young pastor and had not experienced many things, but also my sermons were different. My sermons when I was a younger pastor a few years ago, even 15, for the first 10 years of my ministry, really, were different than they became after God had brought me through some trials. Now, that wasn't an accident. God brought me there on purpose. Those sermons were not an accident. Those sermons helped thousands of people dealing with sin and getting right with God and helping them. And God has a purpose for those. He had a purpose for those. There was a reason for those. Just like there's a reason for the way that he has me preach now and the direction. And some of that is with some hope and experience, what happens is you're able to help others and encourage them that God will see them through whatever they're going through. People need that. That's growth. That's what God does with his pastors as he brings them through. And he teaches his shepherds how to pastor the flock, how to teach them, how to nurture them and grow them and encourage them. God uses that. That's what that's for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Amen. That's who God is. That's who your Heavenly Father is tonight. If you're viewing your Heavenly Father as anything else but a God of mercy and the Father of mercies, you're viewing God wrong. As a child of God, God is not sitting up in heaven waiting to whack you. He is not waiting to punish you. He is teaching you. He is guiding you. He is loving you, but he is not waiting to destroy you. That isn't who God is. God is a God of mercy. He is the Father of mercies. And notice here, and the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. So if you need comfort, you get it from God or you don't get it at all. And some of you want comfort outside of God the Father, out of God the Son, and God, and communion with the Holy Ghost. You want to acquire comfort some other way. And that's idolatry. God will not give it to you another way. You have to work on your relationship. It's like wanting my marriage to be better, but spending more time with my friends than I do my wife. Well, that's insanity. That doesn't work that way. I can never work on my, or saying I want to be a better father, but not having anything to do with my children. Well, that doesn't work that way. That's impossible. Also, you'll drive yourself nuts doing that. So spiritually, if you're trying to get comfort outside of God the Father, if you're trying to get comfort outside of God's way of you receiving comfort, you're going to go insane. You'll go nuts trying to find that because you won't find it. You can't find it there. God won't let it be found there. He won't let your soul be comforted by anything else but him. He will not. God will not let that happen. And it's for your own good. He says here, and the God of all comfort. So he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who? Now he's going to explain to you how that comfort works. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? Does that say some of our tribulation?
All.
All. That's right. All. All of our tribulation. God comfort. So if you're going through any trials or tribulation, there is comfort there for you. There absolutely is. No matter what the trial is. It doesn't matter what it is. There is comfort there for you. Because God promises, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason he comforts you in all your tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That's the reason. Let me explain something to you. Selfish people do not get comfort. They don't. Selfish people do not get comfort. They don't. God does not come. Why? Why is that? Well, because their only purpose is to make themselves happy. Their only purpose is to make themselves happy. You know what? And this is by nature. This is how single people can sometimes be very selfish people. Not sometimes. Most of the time, they are selfish people. And then they get married and they think they can continue their selfishness into a marriage. No, it won't. You can destroy a marriage quickly or hurt the growth of that by being selfish. Because selfish people don't want to comfort anybody. They just want themselves comforted. And God says, you know what? There's a reason why he comforts us, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That's the purpose of comfort. It's for you to dispense it to others. But if you only want to make yourself feel good all the time, and that's your purpose, and God knows that, and selfish people don't get comforted. It's when they're willing to spend and be spent for others that God comforts them. It's when they're willing to step out of their own comfort zone to help other people, right? That's when God does that. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, see, that's what experience does. When God brings you through trials and God comforts you through those trials and tribulations, you're able to go to somebody else. And when they're in their trials and tribulations, you're able to give them comfort. You're able to encourage them. You're able to explain to them how they can be comforted through what they're going through. How they can be strengthened, how God will give them comfort. Now, what I can't do is make you listen. I can't make you follow it. I know that from experience, too, that no matter how much you want to comfort somebody, if they won't receive it, they ain't going to be comforted. But that's really between them and the Lord. That isn't between you. That isn't your fault. But you and I can still attempt to comfort people. But when they're not comforted, that's on them. That's their fault. It isn't because somebody doesn't care. It isn't because somebody doesn't want to help. It isn't because God doesn't care either. It's because you're selfish. That's what it all boils down to. It's selfishness. That's what it's thinking of self constantly. And then you're not comforted. You don't have that. It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. For as the sufferings of Christ abound, Paul said, hey, the sufferings abound in us. As they do, as those sufferings abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. What does he mean by that? He means that though I may be suffering, I still have consolation by Christ. I still have access to that consolation. God is still working and moving and giving me hope and courage to continue on and to be strengthened through whatever it is I'm going through. That's what Paul is saying here. He's that's why he's uniquely able to talk about that comfort. He's talking about the consolation. It aboundeth by Christ. You ain't going to get it any other way. Like, you could listen. If you as a Christian are not willing to draw closer to Christ in your trials and learn of Christ and sit at his feet and learn of him, then you will not be comforted. That's simple. That's simple. In whatever trial you're in whatever you are facing right now, if you want consolation and comfort, you only get that by the person of Christ. Right? That's right. By his mediatorial work, the work that he does as the mediator. That's the work that Christ does. Right? I don't listen. Okay, let's do it anyway. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I've got a study that I'm not going to preach this whole study to you, but it's applicable here, and I'm going to show you this verse here, and then I'm going to get back to what I'm doing here. But I think Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 11, we're going to look at a couple verses here real quick. I want to show you something. I'll teach on it later. You'll forget about it by then anyway, so it won't matter. But we'll teach it anyway now, and then I'll teach it again in a few weeks or a few months, whenever that comes up. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have, look at this, boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Do you see that? We have boldness, we have access with confidence by the faith of Christ. This is why, by the faith of him, this is why you have that. This is what Christ, and all of that is found by Christ. Do you see that? Just like it was over there when we're reading Acts in 1 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're reading the same thing. It's by Christ. You have access. So you and I, the power of our prayers and the access that we have is not because we're good boys and girls. It's not because we've been perfect, because we never have been and we never will be on this side. It's not because we're approved of God by our own conversation. No, it's because of the person of Christ. Exactly right. It's his mediator work. That's why. Because he's the mediator. And because he's the mediator, we have access, we have boldness, right? Look at that. We have boldness, we have access with confidence by the faith of him. That's why. It's by Christ. That's the only reason why. It isn't anything good in you. It isn't anything good in me. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. When you continue to try to find goodness in yourself and goodness in you, even as a Christian, when you try to find those things, when you are trying to get goodness in you, right? When you are attempting to get that, you are going to be mighty miserable because there isn't any. Stop looking for it. Just stop looking for it. Yeah, it's Christ's righteousness. That's right. We don't need to look for any good in us. You can agree with yourself, the devil, whoever it is, when it says, well, you're terrible. You're right, I am, but Jesus is great. And I'm not forgiven because of anything I've done. I'm forgiven because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
It is all upon the atonement of Christ that I have boldness. I have access, right? By the faith of, with confidence, by the faith of him. That's why. So I can pray no matter how I feel, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what trial or if I've sinned against God or whatever it is I've done, I can go to him because of who he is. And I go through him. That's why. You need to understand that. You go through Christ. That's why you and I pray in Jesus' name. That's why we do that. Why? Because Christ is accepted by God. He is the eternal offering that was made, an absolute acceptance for whatever it is. We've been accepted by Christ. That's why. You need to understand that, friend. If you don't understand that, you're going to make yourself miserable. You're going to be groping in darkness without hope. And you're going to be, and as a Christian, that is, when you don't understand your proper place before God, and you're not making much about Christ, you're making much about you. One of the greatest flaws that you and I can ever do is to focus on ourselves so much that we make such little thoughts of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts daily about Christ, and what are they about you? What are they about what you're going through or your trial or any of those other things? How much do you think about Christ and his greatness versus how much you think about the trouble you're in, the trial that you're facing, and everything else? How great is Christ in your thought and in your thought process and in your life compared to your trial that you're going through, your sadness, your sorrow, whatever it is that you're facing or your wants and your desires? Because that will tell you why you feel the way you do or the direction you have is that way. Because of where Christ, the preeminence that Christ is supposed to have in your life. And when he doesn't have it, well, you're not supposed to feel good about that. You're not supposed to feel good about being an idolater. You're not supposed to feel good about being selfish. We get our comfort from the Lord. That's where it comes from. Man, I haven't even got past point one yet here. Okay. Anyway, let's move on here. John chapter 14, by the way. I cannot emphasize it enough that you must be comforted by the Lord. In John chapter 14, verse number 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Boy, that's real. Pretty plain preaching right there, isn't it? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is before the resurrection of Christ. This is before the ascension of Christ, right? And that they would be marked and the Holy Ghost of God would be in them permanently. And in Ephesians, Paul reveals that mystery, one of those mysteries of that we would be sealed, that we are sealed under the day of redemption with the Holy Ghost. Paul revealed that. Right? He revealed that to the believers. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Boy, is that ever true. Amen. Isn't it? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you ever feel comfortless, it's because you're not seeking communion with the Lord. That's why. You're drowning in your own sorrows. You're having repentance unto yourself. You're very sorrowful. But when you seek comfort from the Holy Ghost, you'll get it. God will give it to you. When you seek Christ and him crucified, when you seek communion with the Lord, you will receive comfort. He will come unto you. He will. He promises it. That's his promise. Amen. That's what he said. He said that very plainly. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. I like that. Amen. Don't you? Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. Those that are saved by the grace of God, they're alive. There might be days you feel half dead, but your feelings ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the fact that you are alive in Christ.
Amen.
At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So you see people say, well, God loves. God is love. He sure is. We're not asking about God's love. What about your love to God? That's what you tell those people out there that tell you that all the time. They always say, well, God is love. And what kind of love is this? God loves everybody. Well, we're not questioning about God's love. My question is, what do you love God? You turn that right back down on them. Do you love God? Well, yeah, I love God. Well, let's do a little test and see if you love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right. Let's start going down that list and finding out if you really love God or not. Amen. Right? Because Jesus said again, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. By the way, you and I prove our obedience, or we prove our love by our obedience. We don't earn our love by our obedience. We prove our love. Let me help you again so you understand the correct order of that. And yes, I'm yelling for sure. I want you to wake up and hear this. We don't earn Christ's love. We prove our love to him by our obedience. Christ earned all the love that we ever needed through the atonement. I'm not earning nothing. I work because I love. That's why. It's a labor of love. And if it wasn't, friend, I'd have been done a long time ago, because I wouldn't have made it. It had to be the love of God in my soul to make me do that, because I'm just not that lovable. I'm just not that lovable, and neither are you. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that makes it possible. Amen. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Do you see that? Wait a minute. Wait, there's a lot here. Man, I don't have time to stop here, but this is really, Jacob, this is getting gooder, isn't it? Huh? It is. Make it, you're going to make Jacob, who's more like a Presbyterian back there, shout in a minute. Well, he baptized us all, so he's not. I'm just kidding, Jacob. I'm just kidding. He's... Oh, boy. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Look at that. He that loveth me. Look what he says here. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He identifies who loves him. Amen. He identifies. He says here, this is how, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. That's what he said. That's all he's saying. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You want to know if you're loved of the Father? This is how you know. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How's he do that? Through the Holy Ghost. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. All right, I want you to stop there for a second. Because that's what he said. That's plain as day. You could read it again for all those people in spiritual special ed out there that try to tell us that God's love is something other than this right here. Because God is the one that defines what that love is, right? And what did he say here? He that loveth me, right. Jesus said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Amen. That's right. These are his words right here.
King James Bible.
That's right. Right there. He will keep my words, right? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Amen.
You'll have fellowship with the Father and the Son through the Holy Ghost. This is how you're comforted. You're not comforted anyway. If you're wanting some kind of carnal comfort, you ain't going to get it from God. God ain't going to give you no carnal comfort.
Right.
So, yeah, but I want some of them warm fuzzies to feel really good about everything. Well, people take dope to get that, but you shouldn't do that. Or they get hugs from really weird, crazy women. Yeah. But you don't want to do that either. Right? If you want the love of God, you want to find it right here.
Amen.
This is how it is right here. He says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Right? He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Very simple. And that's simple. So then when you ask somebody about being born again, and you ask somebody about whether they, like this guy, he said, well, I'll never go to a church. Well, you ain't keeping God's sayings. You don't love God.
Amen.
You don't love God. That guy said, I'll never go to a church. Did you see that, Jacob? That Satanist on there? Okay. That Satanist on there, he said, he's still a Satanist, by the way. And he said, I'm never going to a church. Well, you don't love God. That's why. Why would you? That's right. That is right. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, there's where the comfort comes from. By the way, Jesus, by the way, like that Satanist, he's looking for, he got his vision of Jesus, right? Right? That's right. He got his vision coming to him, right? He had that Jesus appear to him. And that's what he wanted. And he got what he wanted. He got turned over to his own delusion and he got what he wanted. I'm going to tell you what, when people get that way, they seal their fate. And I'm not joking when I say that to you. When they get that way and those devils appear to them like that and lock them into that false conversion like that, where they have visions of devils coming to them, visions of Jesus coming to them that are devils and preaching a different gospel to them, they have locked themselves into that. And they ain't coming back from it. Every single one of those devils that I've ever seen been around fundamental Christianity at all or the least bit and give themselves over to those things, they don't ever come back. They just don't. That's right. They're done. They had their chance and they didn't want it. They rejected it for a devil. They rejected it for a vision of Christ to come to them or some vision or some movement or something else, spirit guides and all kinds of other things like that. That's what they sought after. But Jesus said that comfort, look what he says here, these things have I spoken unto you being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This Jesus says, you know what? The Holy Ghost, when he comes, he's going to teach you all things. By the way, there's great comfort in God teaching you his word. Do you understand that? When I'm alone with my Bible and you're alone with your Bible and the pastor's not standing up before you teaching you, but God's Spirit is guiding you through the scriptures and teaching you something, there's comfort in that. That's God bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
He's feeding us his word. He's giving us, Christ is a shepherd, right? The shepherd feeds the sheep. And he takes that and he gives you the word of God and he speaks to you through the Bible. When's the last time God taught you something in the word of God that nobody was around and it's just you and your Bible and you're learning something from God? God is showing you something. You're taking time to learn something from God and you're allowing, this is how God speaks to you. Like that Satanist got up there and he said, oh, there's many ways that God speaks to us. No, this is the way. But yet in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Yep. Right.
This more sure word of prophecy. If you're looking for God to speak to you some other way, then you're being an idolater. You are not accepting the truth that God has showed you right in front of your eyes and the word that he has given you. And by the way, shame on you. Shame on you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Looking somewhere else for that truth other than the word of God, which Jesus gave his life for. He died and he rose again from the dead, and other men and women that gave their life so you could have this book in your hand, and you want some other message, some other place, somewhere else. You're looking for something else, some other place. And you know what that means? It means you're an idolater and you need to repent of it. Amen. You need to get right with God. God's say, I want God to speak to me. Well, open up the book then. You want God, you say, well, I want comfort. Well, open up the book then. Right? That's where you get comfort. But here's what you say. Yeah, but when I open up the book, it bruises me. Well, you always have to be bruised before you're used by God. You always have to be. You got to be broken. God's going to break you, especially when there's been that coldness, especially when you've been away from God. You're going to get broken. It's going to tear you up. But you ought not run from that. You just like when you're a little child, you're not allowed to run from your parents when you get a spanking. You sit there and you take it. Right? You sit there and you take it. You let God teach you, correct you, right? You let God speak to you, and maybe he's going to breathe out terrifying things to you. Maybe God is going to breathe out terrors to you. That's okay. He's still God. You're in the safest place you can be. Whether God's breathing out, whether you feel the flames of hell beneath your feet or not, when you're in that book, you're the safest place you can be.
That's right.
You ain't in any danger at all. The danger is for you to turn away from that book and to turn to something else. That's the danger.
Amen.
That's exactly what it is. That's the danger. Look at this. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So there he goes, the Comforter, he's going to teach you. And then what does Jesus say after this? Peace I leave with you. Well, how do I get peace? That's right. Right from that book. That's where you get it from. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Maybe what you're seeking is peace the way the world gives it. You know what that is? Oh, it's okay for you to be a sodomite. It's okay for you to be a homosexual. God loves everybody. It's okay for you to be a witch or a wizard. It's okay for you to be, you could be anything you want. Oh, it's okay if you want to be LGBTQ. It's okay if you want to be a transgender. It's okay if you want to be disobedient to God. It's okay if you want to live in sin. It's okay if you as a Christian don't want to obey the Lord. It's okay. God loves everybody. See, that's the kind of peace of the damned. That's the peace that people want. They want that. That's, and if you're not careful, you'll search for peace the same way. And Jesus said, well, you ain't going to get it from me because I don't give it the way the world giveth. I don't give peace that way. God will never give you peace that way. God does not give peace to disobedient children. Just like your parents don't give peace to disobedient children. You parents don't. When your children are wrong, they don't feel any peace, do they? No. And why should you? That's right. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what Jesus said to him when he's talking about comfort. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Well, if you follow the way Jesus said for you to get that comfort, you'll get it. That's the promise of God. That's what it is. Number two, that was just number one. Wow. All right, number two, this one will be a lot shorter. I got 5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. comfort comes from remembering God's word. The Lord Jesus would comfort Paul. He came to Paul, right? But we have to remember, we have to understand that it's easy for us to overlook the comfort that the Lord gives us. And we should make sure that we take comfort in past lessons and communications from God, when God has taught us, when God has showed us. Right? When God speaks comfort to our hearts through the word or through others, we must not ignore that. We must remember that God has done that. For instance, God told Paul when he called him that he would what he would face. Remember Acts chapter 9, verse number 15? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God was warning Paul that he would not die in Jerusalem yet at the hands of the king. He wouldn't. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's what he told him in the beginning. So God told him, you're going to end up going to Jerusalem. Paul's going to be a witness in Jerusalem. He's going to be a witness in Rome. Paul's going to be everywhere. It's going to happen. God said very plainly that Paul would suffer greatly for his name's sake. By the way, you must never forget that you and I are appointed unto some type of suffering. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having this same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. To some level, Christians will suffer. All Christians. All of them. To some level. You will suffer. If you will walk with Christ, you will suffer much sorrow in this world. That's right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10 through 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So then remembering that that will go a long way to comfort you when that persecution comes. When those afflictions come, when persecutions come, if you will remember the words of the Lord that they are promised unto you. By the way, you are not promised a joyful road to heaven. You are promised that God will give you joy, but you are not promised a peaceful road to heaven. You are not promised that everything's going to go well. But what you are promised is persecution and afflictions. And you are commanded to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because those things will come to you. And by the way, if you ever want to rob yourself of comfort, then just forget for a little while when you're going through something that God already promised you that these things would come to pass. He didn't promise you the way in which they would come to pass. Paul had no idea what he was going to suffer. God just told him, you're going to suffer for my name's sake. He didn't tell him what he was going to suffer. He didn't tell him how he was going to suffer. He just told him he was going to suffer. And that's the truth about it for all of us as well. Jesus foretold us in his word that we would suffer. When you and I are not prepared to suffer anything for Christ's sake, or if we ever get into our minds that we should not have to suffer for Christ's sake, we may lose our vigor or desire or strength. We'll become very weak. When God Almighty shows us from his word that all of us will suffer for Christ's sake, you and I can be strengthened for the battle ahead. That is comfort, by the way, to remind you of that. God's word is to be a comfort to his saints, and we are to remember past deliverances and times that God spoke to us through his words to encourage our hearts and remind us to be strong and of good courage. You are not to lean on the arm of flesh. You are to lean on the Lord. You are not to draw strength from men. Men will fail you. All men will fail you. Every man alive will fail you because they are fallible creatures. They're flesh. They will fall. They will fail. God's word is to comfort his saints, though, because Jesus Christ never failed. Very rarely do you and I remember past victories, but our minds and hearts become fixated on past failures, and we do not draw comfort in present-day conspiracies that come about when trials come that we face. An improper focus and a fallen, faulty memory will help sink us in times of deep affliction. We get tunnel vision and we forget about all the goodness of God in the land of the living. We forget about all that God has done for us when trials come. We forget about all the goodness of God when we have the least bit of afflictions and trials that come our way. We must remember the goodness of God and his good word and bad. When his words tell us we will suffer, then we must remember that. Divine consolation, said one, stood him in most stead of all. The chief captain had rescued him out of the hands of cruel men, but still had him in custody. And what might be the issue, he could not tell. The castle was indeed a protection to him, but withal it was a confinement. And as it was now, his preservation from so great a death, it might be his reservation for a greater. We do not find that any of the apostles or elders at Jerusalem came to him. Either they had no courage or they had no admission. You wonder about that. We don't read about James and Peter and all those apostles coming to visit Paul while he's there. Probably was too dangerous for them to do it. You know? Probably it was a very dangerous place to be at the time. Next, we find out that the Lord stood by him. And the night following, the text says to us, in the night following, the Lord stood by him. And this brings joy and light in darkness. In his presence alone, standing by us, in Jesus' presence alone, standing by us, will bring us great joy of heart and life. If we know that we are right, if we know that we are walking with God, that the Lord is standing by us, then you and I can get through anything. That night in the midst of the worst trial to date, where Paul is boxed in, the Lord is there. The Lord Jesus appeared to him in a vision to him and stood very near him, by the side of him, by the bed or couch on which he might lie. But no man stood with Paul. He was alone, except the Lord. By the way, there will be times literally when no man will stand with you. There'll be other times when you feel that no man can relate to you or with your struggle that you are going through. That is when you desperately need Christ to stand by you. That's when you need the Lord to stand with you and by you. The Lord stood by him, came to his bedside, though perhaps it was but a bed of straw, to show him that he was all the day long with him, really as sure as he was in the night with him visibly. Note, says one, whoever is against us, we need not fear if the Lord stand by us. If he undertake our protection, we may set those that seek our ruin at defiance. The Lord is with those that uphold my soul, and nothing can come amiss. The next thing we find here, number three or four, whatever number it is, Christ tells Paul to be of good cheer. It's the first thing. We can identify Christ when he comes to the apostles. That's a common thing that he said to them. Eight times, by the way, in the King James Bible, good cheer is there. Eight times, right, for the new man in Christ. The new man in Christ is to take good cheer. He's to be of good cheer, right? Even he could be in the sorrowfulest time of his life and going through the hardest things. But he is to be in good cheer. Why? Because he has Christ. Matthew 9, 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's a good reason to be of good cheer, isn't it? Amen. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Matthew 14, 27, but straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. That's the time in the boat and out of the boat, right? Matthew 6, 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Boy, I hope you understand that verse. I don't think we do, do we? Look at that. I'm going to read that again to you. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Where the peace is, in Jesus. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Mm-hmm. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He already won. He already defeated it. That's right. He already defeated it. He already defeated the God of this world. Right. By the way, that communication there, that be of good cheer, it's contagious because we see Paul use it later in Acts chapter 27, verse 22 through 25. If you look there, Paul's in a dangerous position. But by the way, having already been in a dangerous position, boxed in, arrested by the captain, the whole Sanhedrin wanting him dead, a conspiracy to put him to death. He's surrounded by murders. Do you get it? Paul is, and we'll get into that next week, but Paul is absolutely surrounded by murderers. They are ready to kill him, the whole city. There's like 40 guys that took a vow and says, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. I don't care what we have to do. We'll starve ourselves, but we are going to kill this man. We are going to kill him. So the whole city's in an uproar. They're ready to kill Paul, right? But the night before, Jesus comes to Paul and says, be of good cheer, Paul. As thou hast witnessed to me here in Jerusalem, so shalt thou witness to me in Rome. You're going to Rome, Paul. Whether these guys like it or not, you are going to Rome. You are going to get an escort to Rome. You are going to get a legion of soldiers escorting you on a boat to Rome, and you're going to make it there, right? You're going to make it to Rome, Paul. Look at that. But in Acts, so Paul, having experienced God's hand there to protect him, literally, when he says, "I was delivered from the mouth of the lion." Right, when Paul talks about that, you got to understand, he is delivered from death surrounding him, all around him, consuming him and taking him, wanting to destroy him. Right? No friend in sight except Jesus, and that's all he needed. And Jesus stood by him. By the way, that's the same hope that you and I have. That's the same reason why I can stand up here and tell you, no matter what you're going through right now, whatever your trial is, Jesus Christ will stick by you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Holy Ghost of God that is indwelt you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how horrible it gets, no matter how long the trial lasts, he will be with you. He will strengthen you and he will take care of you. That is his promise. So Paul, having understood that because he experienced that, he shares that in Acts chapter 27, verse 22, in a terrible situation that he's in. He comforts them with the comfort wherewith he was comforted, right? Remember that? Well, here's what he says. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So he told him, he said, listen, don't be afraid, Paul. I like what Paul says in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Oh, wait a minute. So then, one of the keys to me to have comfort, Brother Dave, is that I've got to believe God. So I have to believe God above everything else. Above all the dark feelings that I have, of all the discouragement that I have, of whatever trial I'm in, the ship's going to be blown apart. Yeah, but God said every single soul that's with you is going to live. Not one of them is going to fall. Every single one of them is going to be delivered. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you? Do you? Right? Ask yourself that question, do you? Do I believe God? In the trial that I'm in the things that I face, in the situation that I'm in, do I believe God? Do I believe God above, do I believe God just as the Apostle Paul said? Because he says, be of good cheer, and I like that part, but do you like the rest of it? For I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told me. That's right, he did. And the question you have to ask yourself is, do you believe God? When the trial that you're in and the thing that you face, what you're going through, he said, for I believe God. God comforted Paul, and he comforted them with that comfort. And it's no wonder if with all these trials and difficulties, Paul was much dejected in mind, especially as he had not any direct revelation from God. God hadn't said anything to him. But see, he just believed what Jesus said when Jesus told him that. By the way, you're looking at the Word of God right now. You're seeing the Word of God right now. And when you look at the Bible, where do you get your comfort at in trials? Where do you go to get the comfort at? Where do you seek for it at? If you seek for it somewhere else, you won't be comforted. There are times in your Christian life where you feel as if you have not rightly heard from God, that you're surrounded and discouraged and feeling quite alone in your trial. But Christ now speaks to us through his word and gives us understanding. He gives us comfort. He reminds us, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, he said to Paul. And Christ says the same to us, that we are to draw encouragement from God's word. We are to draw light in darkness from God's word. We're to drink from the breast of the milk of the word of God. We're to drink in deep and desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Christ says, be of good cheer. He bids him, says, one, have a good heart upon it, Paul. Be of good cheer. Do not be discouraged. Let not what has happened sadden thee, nor let what may yet be before thee frighten thee. You know, you and I, sometimes we get very afraid because we don't know what's coming ahead of us. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future in his hands. You don't need to know the future. You need to know the God who holds it all in his hand.
Yeah, amen.
You don't need to know what's going to happen. You couldn't handle it if you knew what was going to happen anyway. You and I could never handle it. We wouldn't be able to. But we can trust God. We can trust the Lord through it. We can trust that God knows exactly where we're at and exactly what we're going through. Fear of the future can bring distress. Uncertainty of our future when we are in present distress can cause much discouragement, depressions, and anxieties. I remember going through depression for like 3 or 4 years straight. And I remember dealing with that time period. And I wondered if it was ever going to end and what the future was going to hold. And if I was always going to be that way or if it was ever going to end. And I just had to give it to the Lord and say, well, Lord, if I'm like that forever, I guess I am. But I still got work to do, so I got to keep moving. But that's what God wanted. He wanted me to believe him. That I needed to believe him above all else, that I needed to follow him and believe him no matter what I was going through. And by the way, you need to do the same thing. No matter what it is, you need to be of good cheer. You need to believe God, right? You need to continue to press on. By the way, these present trials, they too shall pass. It will not be forever. Your trials will not be forever. Your trials will not last forever. There'll be different ones that come your way. The ones that you think are so gigantic and huge right now, and they may be in the present, They won't be there in 2 or 3 weeks' time. How many times have we talked about things and 2 weeks later, it's on to the next tragedy, on to the next trial, right? On to the next big challenge, on to the next big thing, right? That's what happens. That's life, isn't it? That's right. But for a moment and we'll be done. That's how it is, right? This too shall pass. It may not seem like it, but it will. Be of good cheer. God is not finished with you. God has work for you to do. I know that all of God's men, his pastors or his generals in his army, have to learn this great truth to teach them patience, to teach them love and care, the trying of their faith that worketh patience. They have to work through these things. Amen. All right, I'm gonna have to stop because I'm not going to have time to finish this. So I'll finish this up tomorrow. No, I won't. You won't be here. I'll finish this up. Let's see, where am I at here? I'll stop right here. Yep, I'll finish this up next week, and we'll add to it and add some more to it here. But that comfort and conspiracy, right? That comfort before his conspiracy. By the way, before you go through severe trials, there are many times that God has a message for you that he is giving you, and you're not listening to it or paying attention to it, or he sent a preacher your way to preach the Bible to you and to instruct you through your trial and the hardships and the things that you're going through, and you just totally ignored it or missed it. And then later on, you'll find out as you go back and review some things, wow, that was preached? Yeah, that was preached. Right? It's like when people sometimes come up to me and they say, hey, guess what? God showed me something. I'm like, oh, really? And they show me, I'm like, yeah, I remember preaching on that. Right? We can't remember everything. But you know what? There are some times that we forsake the very mercies that God has for us. And we observe lying vanities like Jonah talked about. We observe other things that will not help us and ignore the things that will. Right? If you want comfort, the Bible has the answer for it. Paul was being comforted because he was getting ready to go through something that was very traumatic. Right? But God was going to see him through it. And that's a good lesson for you and I. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for its correction, its instruction in righteousness, the blessing that it does give to us, Lord. And we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and all your grace that you pour out upon us. And if there be one or two here not saved, Lord, that they'd come to Christ today and be born again by the Spirit of God, have their sins forgiven them. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this church. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.